When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Start a podcast.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
best in all his future endeavors.
Here comes the big dog.
Shut up!
It is a Tuesday night, Tuesday, June 15th, which means we are recording another edition of the Babyface Heel Podcast. Babyface Heel Podcast, of course, comes at you as part of the Chairshot Radio Network, which you can hear at thechairshot.com. Follow along at Chairshot Media. This show also streams on all your favorite platforms, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, and so many more. So like, subscribe, leave us that five-star review, but most importantly, tell a friend so they can join in the fun as well. My name is Greg DeMarco. Follow me at ChairShotGreg. The show's a little bit different, as you know, throughout the month of June. We have been celebrating 10 years of Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd sitting in front of computers and doing a podcast. And we are doing that again today, but this one's a little bit different. Miranda Morales is away this week, so we are using this show and the hashtag Miranda Show to do a roundtable of sorts in the world of professional wrestling. So this portion of our 10-year celebration, let's Patrick and I show off our wrestling knowledge, wrestling opinions, and do so with some good friends and two different sides of the spectrum. First of all, one person has never been on the air with us before, and you will recognize his voice from, most importantly, the Outsider's Edge podcast, which he, of course, does each and every week. He's also appeared on Chairshot Radio, a couple other shows as well. So I am very excited to welcome to the show for the very first time. You can follow him on the Twitter at Dr. S'mores. It's Dr. S'mores, S-M-O-R-E-S. It's Kyle Moore.
Thank you so much for having me, y'all. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come in on such short notice.
Kyle Moores. I'm sorry, not Kyle Moore.
Moores. That's why it's Dr. S'mores. Moores sounds like s'mores.
It's so easy yet so hard. It's crazy how that's
I know, right?
So
super complicated. And
I'm super excited to get Kyle on and have him do this. So we'll be doing that momentarily. Joining us as well, for the past probably 3.5 years of the 10 years that we've been podcasting, he has served as the relief pitcher. He's been the pinch runner for the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd. And sometimes both Patrick O'Dowd and Miranda Morales. He also is a big part of the Steel Cage podcasting network. He even gets to cover some sports sometimes and has real life too. We've talked about that on the air before. He's also the assistant commissioner of Impact Zone Wrestling. You would find him on the Twitter at CAP_caveman. That's cave with a K. You know him. It's Derek Montilla.
Patrick, I'm glad to see that we can finally be together in the same place at the same time.
Hello, Derek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was waiting for that. Look, I know you've heard the things I've been saying about taking your job and pushing you out of the podcast, and you know that I want to take over with Greg and have my own show. I just want you to know that I meant every single one of those things.
Oh, I'm aware.
All right.
I'm aware. Right. And I'm comfortable enough in this chair mm-hmm. to not sweat you sure. and your little, actually more nerd basement than I could ever hope for. You should be on the bandwagon. He should be on bandwagon nerds.
He probably should.
At some point, like just gauging by the background there.
That's an insult. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone can, you know, stay nine forever.
That's right. Not everybody can. Luckily, I have.
Yes, you have. I believe it was a 10-year-old self. You always said we'd be proud of you. 12-year-old self. I can't remember what age you used.
Living the dream.
I think eight. I think eight is what I'm going for. Okay. Yeah, like 8-year-old self. But yeah,
you're doing well.
Basically living a life that if I told my 8-year-old self about, he would be very excited. All worries about the future would be alleviated.
The future's in good hands with adult version of 8-year-old Derek Montilla. So, and the other voice that you've already heard, he has been here since day one-ish. You can follow him on the Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist, and there is one in Patrick for the Wrestling Realist. And the host of the aforementioned Bandwagon Nerds podcast, Patrick O'Dowd.
The OG co-host with Craig DeMarco.
Day one-ish, yes.
The one and only co-host. Actually, that's not even true. Because you did shoehorn Miranda in there. Suddenly, you know why I feel threatened, right? Like, you keep bringing other people on.
That's never happened before. Over the 10 years, we've had Brina, we've had Heather, we've had... Mm-hmm. Miranda.
They've all fallen like dominoes before me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think Miranda.
I see now why you have your confidence. Now.
Yes.
I know, right?
Yes. Because he doesn't have anything else to do.
Many have stepped forward. None have survived.
It's also good that he doesn't have that much of a life. So it helps. It definitely helps. That's
true.
Most of us wrestling podcasters fall into that category. So. Today we are going to talk about two topics on this show and then two on the hashtag Miranda show. If you listened to this morning's Chair Shot Radio, and if you didn't, shame on you. Please go back and do that. Talked about this a little bit. And I talked about one topic we're not going to utilize, and that is the State of the Blank podcast topic, because I've decided, two different people pitched the idea to me, do a state of this. And for some reason it just struck me, I hate the State of the Blank topic. I just think it's so broad-based and just not a lot of fun. So we are going to have much more pointed topics and have a lot of fun. Before we do, I've got to admirably fill in and tell you to go over to Pro Wrestling. Oh, wait, I should probably do this, huh?
It's time!
Now I can admirably fill in and tell you that it is time for you to go to ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot and pick up your very own Chair Shot t-shirt. We got all sorts of designs, colors, shapes, sizes, styles for you to take advantage of. Patrick O'Dowd is even sporting the hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling shirt. Right now, today, we've got the Jesus Did the Job shirt. We've got the Chair Shot Corona, Chair Shot Worldwide, Chair Shot 316, all sorts of Chair Shot shirts. Of course, the logos, the OG designs, the always use your head shirts. We got shirts for the podcast, like A Winner Is You and Bandwagon Nerds. Shirts for the personalities, like the Queen of Soft Style shirt and the Everybody Hates Greg shirt. Plus fun ones like the Baron Corbin Sucks shirt. So endorsed by the man who sucks himself, Baron Corbin. So head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot and pick yourself up one of those shirts today. Kyle, of course, is on the Outsider's Edge, which was the inspiration for the hashtag journalism shirt. So go out there and pick up one of those as well and show the Meltzers and the Kellers of the world exactly what you think of what they do week in and week out, yet they make money at this.
Stop wasting your $13 on Uncle Dave's shit rag.
Is it 13 now? Did it go up?
I'm pretty sure it's $13.
Why are we talking about Uncle Dave's shit rag?
Well, because it said you could pay $10 for someone else to ruin the show for you, but whatever. You know,
that's true. That is very, very true. So, indeed, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up any one of those shirts. It does support everything that we do here at the Chairshot Radio Network and thechairshot.com, podcasting, hosting services, and websites. Don't grow on trees. They grow in computers, and so we need your help to continue to do that, and we appreciate you listening, sharing, and, of course, being a part of that movement, as Christopher Platt calls it, by heading on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and picking up one of those shirts, well, today.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
For many wrestling fans, one of the pleasant surprises of the road to WrestleMania 37 was the emergence of Bob Lashley, as your current reigning, defending, undisputed WWE champion. Of course, Bob won that belt from The Miz on the road to WrestleMania, retained it against Drew McIntyre in a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. Now he is set to defend that championship against Drew McIntyre inside the Hell in a Cell this Sunday. We're not picking pay-per-views. There's many a podcast that can do that for us. My question is more about Bobby Lashley, and Kyle, we're going to start with you on this topic. Is Bobby Lashley a temporary top guy or a legit long-term top guy?
He's a temporary top guy for one reason, and it's a really easy reason to get into. Bobby Lashley's 44 years old now. Like, not going to turn 44. Like, Bobby Lashley is actively 44 years old. You could conceivably possibly get 1 to 2 more years out of that, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. Like, if you really look at the history of professional wrestling, Austin's peak at the top was like 2 years. CM Punk's peak at the top was like 2 years. The Rock's peak at the top was like 3 years. You know, the John Cena's and the Undertaker's are the exception more so than the rule. So like 1 to 2 years on the top is, you know, not anything to be upset about. But like at his age, he can't be anything more than a temporary star.
There you go. Age could be a factor. Patrick, your thoughts on Bob?
I have him in that Dave Bautista category, kind of for the same reasons that Kyle just laid out there, because Dave kind of hit the big time when he was, I don't even remember how old he was when like he got 40. His, when he got his big evolution older. Push.
Big Dave's age is definitely under dispute. That's for sure.
Well, or DDP is another great example.
Yeah.
He didn't even break into performing until he was in his like late 30s.
Right. And like you can still have a very good top of the card run, and Dave Bautista is nothing to sneeze at. That's a Hall of Fame career. But I don't know that he's, I guess it also kind of mean, what do you mean by the top guy? Do you mean like somebody who's going to be the top guy for like the next 10 years? Or because, like, or do you think when he inevitably loses to McIntyre, will he still be a top guy going forward?
I think this.
I'm asking you for.
For me, it's the latter of what you said. The second part of what.
So. No, because it's not really what the WWE does anymore. Like they have like four guys that kind of stay up there the whole time, and then the rest of the group kind of does the Miz pattern where they're up, and they go down to the mid, then they go back up and down. Even, yeah, I don't know that I see it. Given his age, and just like I think he'll go down to U.S. title land, maybe come back up for another. He'll be a legitimate contender, but is he the top guy? Top guy? I don't know that he's the top guy. Top guy, kind of character after he loses.
All right, Derek, what do you think?
I think honestly, what both Kyle and Patrick said is very valid as far as his age goes and where he's at in his run. I think that, you know, Bob Lashley's best days are definitely behind him, yet he's still really, really good. Like, when you look at him in the ring, he's incredibly athletic. He's incredibly strong. He's still able to go at a really high level. I don't really think of age in the same way that I used to, considering how these guys are able to condition their bodies, and especially the shape that Bobby Lashley's in. I don't want to look at this from a perspective of age or how many years necessarily he might have left in his run. I just want to look at it from the way that he's been as part of the Hurt Business and the way he's been as champion. I personally love Drew McIntyre, and I mean that, like, outside of wrestling. I'm a friend. I'm a huge fan of his as a wrestler. And with that being said, I can say that Bobby Lashley's short time as champion has been way more interesting than Drew's. You know, I think that Drew, even though he found himself and found a way to kind of be a top guy for WWE, it was still the criticism I think people have of him is valid. I think it was boring. I don't think a lot of stuff happened. I think he fought challengers that weren't really worthy. And when he did, you know, it ended up being Bobby Lashley that ended up beating him. I think that Lashley's done a great job of playing the part of champion. You know, the girls and the suits and just everything he's been doing with MVP has been really good. The writing in general has been terrible, so I have a hard problem judging, you know, the storyline or what he's being put into. And it's kind of the same thing with Drew. You know, I can say that Drew did a couple of things, but I mean, adding a sword to your gimmick isn't really moving the needle for me. The same way that Bobby Lashley came out and just embraced being a champion. I might be old, but the whole heel shtick with the suits and the girls and flashing how rich and powerful you are, that works for me. So I think he's done a great job of being champion, and you know, his in-ring stuff is there. That's no question. I think that just he kind of put it all together. I just can't wait to see him in front of a crowd, and that kind of goes the same thing with Drew. We never got to see that. So I don't know how it's going to go once we see an audience again.
I think it's hard to judge. I think it's hard to judge the main eventers on Raw because the writing is so bad. It's hard to be the last act on a terrible show.
Right.
Because, like, right, the crowd is already dead and dragging. And, like, we've all been to some live Raws that have been good and bad. I've been in some really great Raws. I was also live for Bayley, This Is Your Life. And I can tell you by the main event of that show, we were all ready to go the fuck home.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is. This show was poorly written. It didn't deliver. I've been here for 4 hours now. Fuck it. I'm out.
Yeah. My enthusiasm level is gone as a fan. I mean, that I can say that about every WrestleMania I've ever been to be honest. I don't have that level of stamina for a wrestling show to last 6+ hours and still feel excited about the main event, no matter how good it actually is. It's kind of sad that the weekly show has gotten to be that way, because, you know, WrestleMania itself, you know, it's going to go long. You know, big shows are going to be big and they're going to get as much as they can in there. I agree with you though. Going even to an episode of Raw, you know, doesn't seem very appealing right now. SmackDown, meanwhile, you know, I think that they've made their title picture the most interesting story that they have going on, and they've done it consecutively for months now. So I don't know. For me, the most interesting thing going on Raw is
Miranda.
I know.
Miranda, are you here?
Sorry. It's just true. Well, Puerto Ricans stick together. But yes, no, I think that it's you know, it's a mildly entertaining thing on a very unentertaining show. So that's why it stands out to me as being the good
part.
He
called you Miranda because you completely froze up. We have no idea what you're saying.
Oh,
yeah, we had no idea what you said.
On a show.
Didn't know. Sorry.
No, all no. Right. It's cool.
So what is it? What is the one thing you like about Raw?
I'm sorry, RKO, RK Bro, that thing.
I wish Matt Riddle wasn't such a trash human. I'm sorry.
No, you're right.
No, no, I know.
It's a big part of everything right now in life, right?
Is
trying to enjoy something while it involves so many people that you don't necessarily want to support anymore.
Well, you can't deny the guy's not talented. Like, I can't sit there and watch and be like, this guy sucks at what he does. Like, I can't.
Oh. If we're talking about the same thing with Bobby Lashley, from the minute Matt Riddle got signed by NXT, I knew that he was going to be Vince's big main eventer within 5 years.
Right, right.
The guy just has everything that Vince absolutely loves about somebody.
Checks
like
the
that.
Boxes.
All the boxes.
To your point about McIntyre and just being like McIntyre actually caught like the McIntyre one of the McIntyre segments actually led I was watching Raw for a change because I was around for a Monday evening. I was watching it live. And when the best line that they could come up with for McIntyre to say about Lashley was to call him Trashley, I turned the channel. Like, and I almost never, like, I usually commit. Like, if I'm going to sit down and watch Raw, I'll commit. Like, I don't do like the Raw's DVR thing that Greg does. And Lashley does, like, Lashley's current persona and what he does doesn't make me flip away. We've talked about this on previous podcasts. It really is about what happens next and what they do with him after he loses. Because after he loses, if they just sort of take the heat off of him and back away, the character could be cool and all, but nobody's going to care because they bump him down and don't really do anything exciting with him. And then you just are going to get the crowd of folks who are going to bitch and moan that why won't they keep pushing Lashley? He's so much better than what they have.
I have an answer for you on what they need to do next. And that is that once he loses, he hypes up that he has a brand new member of the Hurt Business that's going to completely change the game, and they sign Jimmy Lloyd. Boom! No? All right. Sorry.
So I feel like I'm on a different train than you guys because I feel like Bob Lashley is going to be more of a legit top guy. Even if he's not necessarily in the title picture, I just don't think he's going to fall as far as some others. I don't think he'll go to the U.S. title picture. I mean, look at a Sheamus, okay? Is Sheamus a legit top guy or is he a tier below being a legit top guy? I don't know. And I could see a Bob Lashley and Sheamus feud mattering regardless of championships, right? There's a lot that I could see Bob doing that will continue to cement him. The big thing for me is when they do go back on the road, can Bob main event house shows? Can Bob, or super shows now as they're going to be, can Bob do that? I'm less concerned about longevity. Not because black don't crack, but because the touring schedule is so different now when they go back. Like they're doing these super shows, which is only going to be about a quarter to a third of the combined roster once they get these first few out of the way. So by and large, he's probably only going to work once a week, except for once or twice a month. So he's really looking at maybe 10 dates a year or 10 dates a month at most, probably more like 6 or 7 dates a month. And the wear and tear on the body is far less now than it used to be with this super show touring schedule they're going to. And I don't think they're going to move away from it. I just think the business has changed so much that then, and so much money comes in from TV that's where it's at for them. So, and Bob, once they really simplified things with Bob, look, Bob had the horrible angle with Sami Zayn and the horrible angle with Lana and was stuck with freaking Leo Rush running around chanting Lashley. And of the three things I just mentioned, the Leo Rush one was the best one. And now, thanks to MVP, who was the MVP of the pandemic for WWE, Bob's a legit guy. Bob's a made man after far too many years. And here we are. I kind of view his ascension like Drew McIntyre's, where they ascended and then stayed. Bob could, and it wouldn't shock me if Bob does lose at Hell in a Cell, and I don't know that he does. But put it this way, whoever loses at Hell in a Cell between Bob and Drew is going to SmackDown when they do the draft, in my opinion, and will probably end up feuding with Roman at some point, whether it's as a hero or as a villain. I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see. The Hurt Business is the kind of heel group that people can actually start to love and cheer for. So I would definitely.
The fact that they're doing another draft is so.
I know they do them way too long, and the fact that it's probably going to be in August is even worse. I agree with you. Like,
can't they just do trades and such? Like, can't they treat this if they're treating it like there's a draft? Can't they just move people around like that when they want to?
The best draft they ever did.
They can, but they don't.
They could also not repetitively book the same match 10 weeks in a row, like,
I mean, didn't they? They had a wild card rule. Like, they make, like,
the
sure, they can do any of this stuff.
The wild card rule was just to muck up the waters enough to have to bring back the draft, and it worked at the time. The best draft they ever did was when they only did 5 selections per show, and they did them over a month's period of time. Like, then those picks actually mattered. When you go through and do this reassignment of the entire roster, and even though half of them stay where they are, and 2 years later, the draft results are exactly the same as they were 2 years prior, the draft stops mattering. But I do think one of these two will go to SmackDown, and it will matter when they do because of where they are. Derek, I saw you put the
finger. I agree with that about the SmackDown thing, and I'm interested to see that transition for one of those guys because I think SmackDown knows what they're doing better, frankly. I think that they have bet, I mean, even I guess my only problem with some of the babyface, you know, top babyfaces on SmackDown is with Roman in the position that he's in, they've kind of made them all underdogs.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a weird position for some of them to be in because it doesn't necessarily feel like a natural role whereas like a Kevin Owens, I mean, I get that he's an everyman, but he's just kind of too badass at times to be like this underdog kind of character that they're trying to drive everybody to be up against Roman. But I get it. I get what they're doing. Their story that they're establishing is still a very good one. And it's kind of this thing where Roman's just starting too many beefs in the streets. And it feels like eventually it's going to catch up to him. I think that when one of those guys do move to SmackDown, I think they'll be big. I think that they'll have a lot of good ideas to do with them. That's the pain of watching Raw. Going back to Sheamus and everybody else you said, I think they could all be top guys. It's just a matter of how you position them, how you book them, how you make them look.
In WWE, they're kind of all considered to be top stars. That's something that the way they think of their stars, whether or not they book them that way is a whole different question. But once you're there, you kind of are considered to be the cream of the crop. So I think that's part of the issue as well. So
sure.
That will wrap things up for topic number one. Let's hit a quick commercial, do topic number two.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Born out of the success of All In, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega came together with a guy by the name of Tony Khan, who was really unknown to wrestling fans by and large until this happened, and created All Elite Wrestling. Fast forward almost 2 years later, AEW is on television, on cable, touring, doing everything they can to really spice up the world of professional wrestling. And while there's plenty that we could say about AEW up and down and all around, what I want to know from all four of us is what is the biggest impact that AEW has had on the wrestling industry as a whole? So, Derek, we're going to start things with you. Just looking at the business globally, what is the biggest impact that AEW has had on the wrestling industry?
I think opportunities. I think the opportunities that it's created for everybody in the industry, no matter what level they are currently at in their career, is what AEW has done. AEW has created opportunities for older legends that really didn't have a place anymore, maybe they've kind of worn out their welcome with WWE, or they're not necessarily welcome back in the same way other legends are. You have guys that are just past their prime, but don't feel really ready to hang it up yet. WWE is going to relegate them to a smaller role. You have actual stars that were unhappy there that are now getting opportunities in AEW. And I think the most important thing is like the young indie scene that AEW is kind of, you know, giving opportunities to. I think they've done a good job of utilizing it for their show and their growth as well. But I think they've done a great job at giving guys that, you know, only really dedicated hardcore independent wrestling fans know of a spot, whether it's on Dark or even in some cases when Cody Rhodes was doing his, you know, challenge with the TNT belt and was fighting Warhorse on Dynamite. You know, there's just been a lot of opportunities for people to work and to shine. I mean, the AEW's, I guess to a fault, you could say that they've maybe taken on too much. They have too big of a roster. They have too many people like that where it feels just a little watered down. I think that they're still just growing as a company. I think that the cream will rise to the top essentially at the end of the day. But I do think that what they're doing for the industry is kind of the opposite of what, you know, WWE does. I think that they're doing a good job of building things that even they aren't necessarily fully invested in.
It's so funny because people used to criticize WWE for hoarding talent, and AEW has more wrestlers on their roster than Raw and SmackDown combined. And
right.
And everyone says, well, they have Dark and they have Elevate. Well, WWE has NXT and WWE has 205 Live. And they still have far less talent. It'd be so easy to, but we can't criticize because it's AEW. And I don't mean we, I mean the online fans in general, which brings me to my point about this. I honestly think the biggest impact that AEW has had, and you could say other things, but too, I don't want to just continue to believe you're the same point as you guys will make. It has given the online wrestling community fans a bigger voice, in my opinion, because
dude, WWE, you stole my answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's why we all get different turns. WWE has done a great job of diminishing and even somewhat dismissing the vocal minority of fans out there and not making them feel stupid. That's what Dana White does to the vocal minority about the UFC. But just really pointing out how it is a minority where it's at. Whereas AEW has given them more life, more credibility, and just really put some power behind that online group of fans because that's their target audience. That's where they're making all their money. I typically like to use the term fleecing, but that's where they're making all their money is from that smaller subset of the internet wrestling community. And I do think they've become a more powerful voice because AEW listens. And sometimes at the sacrifice of growth, but AEW listens and panders to that group of fans and has seen success with it. And so to me, I believe that has been a big part of where they are and where they've found their success. And a big part of their success is that group of fans right now.
Do you think that's why their fans are so diehard?
I think they'd be diehard anyway, but I think I think it gets turned to 11 because of AEW and because of the way they treat those fans. I think it would be a 7 or 8 or a 9, maybe even a 10, but AEW allows them to be that way, whereas WWE didn't. And some would say that's what AEW does with talent too. They let the talent be the talent, good, bad, or indifferent. But AEW lets those fans be what they have been. But instead of trying to mold them and shape them a little bit, they just roll with it. And that's why they haven't grown, to be honest with you, because one of the biggest complaints you see online about AEW is the fan base.
AEW, but the company has something in common with the fan base. The fan base is worse about it than the company is, but they both have something in common. They're all jaded about the WWE.
Yes.
That's very true.
They are all universally jaded. Yeah. Whether they're jaded in the sense of Cody and the like, they didn't give me what I want the way I wanted it when I wanted it, or they're jaded in the like Matt and Nick sense of not getting the opportunity when they felt they should have been, or they're the jaded ass fans who are just a bunch of whiny titty babies who constantly bitch about the things that they think that they want. And then when they're given those things that they think that they want, well, no, I didn't want it like that. No, that's not what I meant. You're not listening. No, you didn't listen to me. And so then AEW created an entire company where they're just like, yeah, we hate those guys too. And we're going to do shit like have Cody with the sledgehammer to the Triple H throne because
they're not trying to compete with the WWE at all. Cody said it in an interview, man. Like he said,
That had nothing to do with Triple H.
Yeah, but hold on. I'll play along with a lot of the bullshit. But if we're just going with what Cody said in a press conference, Cody in a press conference is like a Bible. Give me a day and I can find it saying one thing or the other.
Well, I mean, he ran it by a focus group first.
No, he didn't. He corrected that because another day happened. Another day happened. So, he corrected that. By the way, before we jump in, Kyle, it's your turn. You get to say how they did that.
Well, my thing was going to be, I think AEW's biggest impact on the industry has been accelerating certain trends in terms of like promotions outside of WWE. Like AEW rapidly accelerated the destruction of Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor isn't dead. They're not dead. Ring of Honor is the new Impact. They're the cockroach that won't die because they're backed by big money that doesn't care about them. So they'll never go away. They'll just always be that other company. And AEW really kind of accelerated that and eliminated any opportunity that they had for growth. AEW also, I think, is going to be what killed their partnership with New Japan. Because why would New Japan partner with them when they can partner with a company that has like actual television and actual revenue and actual reach in North America, which was the only reason they partnered with Ring of Honor in the first fucking place.
I can say that event at Madison Square Garden was also a big reason why New Japan decided not to partner with Ring of Honor any longer, because that was a shit show.
Yeah, but that event was a shit show in large part because by then, all of those people that they were banking on building that card around were like, yeah, we're going to go. This oil guy wants to give us a bunch of money and let us just, you know, have our own territory. So we're going to move down to Florida and do our thing. But the New Japan's the other company that I think AEW has really impacted the most. They have had to completely change a lot of booking, I think, because I really don't think they thought Kenny and the Bucks would be like hardcore gone. I think they always thought there would be some kind of a relationship there. And so then when there wasn't and the pandemic hit, that really, I think, ate into a lot of New Japan's like creative well, and we're still seeing the fallout from that.
Yeah, their biggest impact could be when they drove, if they end up driving New Japan to WWE. Who knows? Patrick.
Right.
Now you get your turn.
Now I get my turn, now that everybody's given all the good answers. No. I can't really think of anything more than to kind of echo what the three of you already said. I do think it's given a level of exposure to some talent that we just never would have seen on any sort of level of a national stage that we get to see in AEW. Like, I don't know when I would see, Orange Cassidy. If AEW
Vince would
didn't
have
exist.
Never understood Orange
like,
Cassidy.
Like when would he have ever shown up? Or would it have been one of those where this guy's big time, you know, this guy's getting over big and is huge and somebody will push Vince to sign him and then Vince won't understand. And, you know, then they'll complain that he's great in NXT and terrible when he gets pushed up to the main roster. So, you know, I think for independent talent, it's been terrific. You know, you can say it's a glut or it's an overloaded roster, but it is opportunity. It is something that, you know, I then suddenly see that face pop up. I was making a joke about independent wrestlers on social media, but like you see them show up all over the place because they've been on TNT. And so, you know, you've been on a major cable network and then suddenly you get booked all over the place. You get booked near me in middle of nowhere, Massachusetts, and people will show up because they recognize it from this alternative show. Greg, I think the fans are insufferable. And I think that it's, I can never remember the guy's name, but there's one dude who every Dynamite Day tweets, how is every episode of Dynamite the best episode of Dynamite? And I'm like, I hate you.
It's because, like, he decided that it was the best episode before it even hit the air. That's
how. Well, right. what I want to know is, what are they going to do when AEW has to start doing what big companies do? AEW hasn't had to do the we're making budget cuts
right
yet. They're being allowed to run at a loss for now. They've got a lot of fan goodwill right now. And I'm just like, what's going to happen when they have to start making those hard choices?
So what I can compare this to sometimes is like sports franchises where one sports franchise, let's say like the Patriots, they have it easy. They've won so many championships that they forget what it is to lose. Even when they have a bad season, they somehow know they're going to bounce back and be even better. You know, I know Tom Brady leaving was a big deal for this team and everything, but it's very much like pro wrestling, right? Where you kind of take it for granted. And then if you're a fan of a Cleveland, you know, Browns or something like that, right? So you're used to just life being shitty. You know, you're used to like this team, everything going bad for you. You don't even have hope that your team is going to do good, even when they are good, right? Like, you just kind of have this thing in the back of your head that's like, oh, this, like, WWE fans and AEW fans are just two completely different things at this point, because WWE fans have gone through that heartbreak, the ups and downs, the disappointment, the seeing your favorite guys get cut, you know, I'm not going to trust you again, but okay, you did bring Samoa Joe back, so I kind of do trust you again kind of deal, right? The AEW fans haven't gone through that heartache like you're talking about. I think at times AEW has promised a lot and hasn't delivered on it. I think at times that's probably the AEW's biggest flaw at times, is they always make these really lofty promises, whether it's that the fucking ring is going to explode or that they're going to like have a diverse roster of talent. Like, I will say that their diversity is good, but honestly, WWE is running up on them as far as having a more well-rounded show that features a diverse, you know, both WWE of their champions,
far more
Bobby diverse. Lashley and, you know, Roman Reigns, both men of color, right? You have this recent hiring for SmackDown that has been women of color that they've hired as writers for SmackDown. You can tell that WWE is moving in a direction where they are, even though they've been what they've been in the past, they're trying to be better about what they're doing. They're trying to bring in people. They're not doing the Cody Rhodes thing of being like, oh, that went bad, but here, let me tell you guys how I put it through a focus group or whatever. You know, like the AEW just keeps promising how, you know, like in the beginning, that they were going to feature young talent and indie guys. And yeah, they did that for a while. But now, I wouldn't be surprised if when you start talking about those first cuts, that someone like Joey Janela isn't in there. You know, one of the guys that was there to build this company originally in the beginning. I wouldn't be surprised if they move completely in the direction of guys like Miro and Sting and all of these big name, big talent, you know, or former WWE talent guys, rather than continuing with this tradition of supposedly, you know, bringing in indie guys and making it a place for like everybody. I don't know.
In a company owned by the Khan family with a fan base full of assholes, how is Cody still the most insufferable thing about the whole operation?
Cody has no idea how he looks from the outside.
No, he's
so self-aware. No, he really doesn't.
Zero. He wants to do the right thing. Like, he wants
so
to
bad.
Do the right I, thing. But he I has no idea just how awful he comes across. I'm just like, dude, you come across as the most disingenuous and pretentious douche.
It's one of my favorite things to see in wrestling Twitter after Cody says something dumb, because like I don't watch, I've watched maybe an hour and a half of AEW programming. I have really struggled to find what other people say makes it so special. Like I've given it a shot. I've been like, I feel like I've actually seen this before in the 90s. You know, during the Monday Night Wars, it seems like it's back and people are happy with it. But what I love is that
by the way.
Yes, right.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm 20 years past that, and I actually am uncomfortable with that. Like some of the stuff that I hear about what people go nuts for and are like raving about outside of like this thing happened on it, like somebody bled like blah 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 blah, and I'm like, that turns me, like, I can't watch what used to be my favorite, one of my favorite moments in the WWE. I can't watch anymore. Like, I can't watch Mick Foley get thrown off of the cage.
Right.
Like,
right.
It yeah. turns my stomach. And I remember watching the Matt Hardy bump. That, like, I caught that because I heard all about it in the news. And so it's just never been my thing. But what gives me joy is on Twitter being able to go into a chat group and be like, okay, why is everybody freaking out about what Cody said? Because, you know, he talked about being the savior for Black people everywhere. Or something, like, or in some roundabout way, he just says just the dumbest things, and it's mind blowing to me. And it gets forgiven by the fan. Like, I just want fans to be critical and understand that that's okay. And right. that's what I think drives me crazy about this. Like, I don't need you to yell at me if I like and go off on me because I said I didn't like a thing. Because I didn't like a thing, that doesn't mean I didn't get it. I just didn't like it.
Here's the thing. I could make all sports analogies about all this stuff, including right. like how we used to love to watch on the football field people get creamed, and now we don't anymore because we know about CTE and concussions and what this is doing to people. So it's not the same thing when you're like, yeah, kill him on the football field or something, right? But it's that teams thing. It's that teams thing. It's political. It's religious. Now it's in wrestling. It's in music. It's in television shows we watch where people decide they're on this team. This is the team I root for, so that's it. I'm going to defend this team. Any other teams that are against my team are the enemy, so I am against you. You know, and so like that's what AEW fans feel like at times. They don't feel like wrestling fans. They feel like specific fans of a thing that no matter what, that thing is the best. They're going to defend that the draft picks and the quarterback throwing six interceptions and – you know, going 6-10 in a season, they're going to defend all of that because they're just so programmed at times to defend that thing. But going back to Cody, like, it's weird the small things that bother me. Like, I have always been bothered by the fact that he had the biggest entrance of anybody when he wasn't even a champion, right? Like, why does everybody come out of the left tunnel or the right tunnel, but he gets this grandiose entrance where he pops up
so
out of the middle
with, like, fireworks. So many episodes of Dynamite feel like the Cody Rhodes show with friends.
Yes.
And it's like, and just like you said, Derek, he's not a champion of anything right now. He's not involved in a title picture of any kind right now. And yet it feels so many weeks. It feels like this is his show with other people that just happen to be on it.
Dressing up like Homelander and not knowing he was dressed up like Homelander is probably the best metaphor that I could make for Cody Rhodes and the way that he sees himself. Like, I can't believe that you didn't know you were like that. Times it feels like a joke. It feels like he is in on it and he knows exactly what he's doing. And it's a well-laid plan to make us all hate him, but then it's not. And that's the part that makes me just, it boggles my mind. I don't understand the decisions that are made or the things that are said. I mean, I've seen it a bunch of times, but the thing they said about Anthony Ogogo, like, you beat up an immigrant that's blind in one eye, and that's supposed to make me like you? Like, how is that a feud that you even wanted to get involved with?
You the white guy beat up the black immigrant
who's talking about blind in one eye.
Yeah, it was bringing. meanwhile, your wife is giving like tone deaf interviews about how honored she is to be the first Black Rhodes, and I'm just like, oh, honey, what are we doing?
It's just bad.
And not only he played the American dream card against a guy who we as Americans kind of like. And Anthony Ogogo.
And even more inexcusably, he went over.
I know. Well, Ogogo got ready.
LOL, Cody wins. Come on.
LOL, Cody wins. We know that. No, but you're right, though. I mean, the whole thing, like, just, I don't know. There was that speech that he gave about America and like, all of that. And I was just sitting there going, do you not understand what is going on right now?
But why should he? But here's the thing. Why should he? Because he's giving this promo. in fucking Jacksonville, Florida, surrounded by people who like who where jingoism plays. Like, I live in South Carolina and it don't hit for me, but I know that if he rocks out in Columbia right now and he gives a jingoism promo, he gonna have them all riled up with their Murica hats and woo, USA, yeah. USA. You
know, I realized something. You know how the Simpsons, they never age, right? They're always the same age. Cody Rhodes was born in 1985, and I don't think he ever stopped living in 1985 because what he's doing right now would play so well in 1985. And
he'd be great with the Crockett's.
Because I bet his own brother, if he really could, would sit him down and be like, you're making a huge mistake. Like, I was gold dust. I know you're making like I understand it'd be different from our father. And
Patrick,
it's sad
of course
too because
you'd be with the Crockett's.
From a talent perspective, Cody could be one of the best in the world. But he gets in his own way. And it's just it's so sad to see. So
he'd make such a great heel. He'd be it's kind of like the Roman thing where it like for years Roman like we just begged them to do what eventually they did. I'm glad the Roman storyline went the way it did. And to be honest, I'm even impressed with it at times. But Jesus Christ, I can't tell you how many podcasts we recorded where we were like, just fucking turn the guy heel already. 75% of the audience boos him already. He already acts like a heel. He says things to the audience where he's almost like talking shit openly to the audience, not something a face does. And yet you still proceed to book him in this certain way. You know,
Cody,
and once they kind of went with it.
Maybe that's
Cody's
why
moniker is Nightmare. What the fuck about what the
I know.
Fuck about the word
I,
Nightmare
the
is Babyface?
Right. Right.
Maybe that's why I mean, Triple H made such a point in interviews to tell us that Roman was already a heel after WrestleMania 33. I don't know. Different topic. I got a little bonus thing for us.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out
of here. Can't really continue to celebrate 10 years of podcasting without something that we've been doing for probably half that time. That is the 3 minute warning bonus topic you guys didn't know about, but very easy. Who
Rest
is
in peace to Jamal and Rosie?
Right. Who is your low key favorite wrestler right now? Not like one that people would be like, oh, like low key, like almost maybe you don't want to admit it. Low key, like maybe others wouldn't think of it. But who is low key kind of one of your favorites right now? And I've got the order that I set for this one a little bit different. To go Kyle, Derek, Patrick, and Greg. Kyle, if you're not ready, maybe we can move around because I just sprung the question on you guys. But low-key, who is one of your favorites right now? Could be Guilty Pleasure. Could be who knows what.
Okay, so low-key, I know it – like it doesn't make sense for people that know me because they know that like I care about work rate a lot and like blah, blah, blah. But like low-key – Index is my favorite shit. I fucking love Index so much. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about it, but it just hits for me.
I think personally, I think it's Indy. I think Indy is doing such a great job selling
She's
the whole Index
so
thing.
Good.
She really is. And she was underrated anyway. And yet another talent they plucked from Australia, but she is insanely talented and is showing the range that you need to be successful in that company. Derek.
This one's a little tough, but I'm going to have to say it's still Orange Cassidy. I love Orange Cassidy so much. I think that they said it on the broadcast in the match between him and Pac, where they just said, we've never seen anything like Orange Cassidy. And then I think he proceeded to say, I don't know how to describe him, but this is him. And it was like, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. And like you said earlier, if he was in WWE, he would probably be booked as some sort of comedy act at best. I think that at the very least, to credit AEW, they do a great job of, like you said, listening to the fans, seeing someone that they really like, and instead of just making sure they're on the show every week, actually giving them a push.
He's presented so well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is like, I
right down to the introduction from wherever, whatever.
Right. And I mean, like that match, you know, that just coming out to the Pixies and his daps, you know, and I like the way he shoos the best friends away when they come out for his match. Like, I don't need you guys out here. Just everything about him I love. The glasses gimmick, the way that he goes when he starts going. I mean, I know he's a smaller guy, and I definitely have seen matches where I've realized he has a ceiling. You know what I mean? Even his performance level has a ceiling. After about 10 minutes, you've probably seen everything you're going to see out of him.
Goldberg made a career out of matches that didn't run past five, so ain't nothing wrong with that.
No.
All I'm going to say is every time his hands go up, and then he just sticks them in his pockets, I pop every fucking time.
It's like the sunglass bit. I always pop for the sunglass bit where they break his sunglasses, and I know it's going to happen. I'm like, he has another sunglasses, and sometimes he waits a long time to pull them out or whatever. I don't care. It's just really good. I think the fact, though, that he's not just a joke gimmick. You know, like, once they start going, you're like, all right, here we go. You know, and he still does the cool moves. He still sticks his hands in his pocket. But I just think he does a great job of being fun. You know, it's fun. And you don't need to see him lose. Or, excuse me, win. You watch him lose, and, like, it kind of makes it that much better. Like, you know he's going to come back, or you know he's going to be aloof to it, not really care anyway. So it doesn't matter if he loses. I thought, you know, that it was really fun with the getting him involved in the title picture for
and that push of putting him in the title picture makes him bankable for a long time, even if he's never there again.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He's always can be put into that spot. Patrick O'Dowd, favorite low-key favorite.
I'm a little scared to admit this.
That's what the point of this is.
But I kind of low key love what they're doing with Eva Marie so far in her
No,
return.
No,
yes,
no,
yes, I do. Having somebody else wrestle for you and get the victory, I don't even care. I love that they're leaning into everybody and their fucking brother hating Eva Marie coming back and doing the whole gimmick and being like, you know what, we're just gonna make you hate her more. Between that and Dexter Lumis, I'm okay.
No, you're right though. I think that, to be honest, what they did on Monday,
that's the best possible thing that they could have done with her.
It really was.
In a positive direction.
I'm here for anything that gets Piper Nevin.
Me too. Yeah, too. Yes.
Oh, and the only thing I'll say about this, and I'll talk more about this on the Edge this week with Platt, but man, if you dusted off your grimy ass Twitter fingers to body shame Piper Nevin, fuck you.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody did
That's
not cool. Of course they did. You act surprised that somebody did that on Twitter.
People body shaming Piper, and I'm just like, first of all, she can go. Second of all, right. Who cares if she's big?
God damn it. This is why I don't get guys like the Natural Disasters anymore. It's attitudes like that.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Right. I want big guys. I want small guys.
Yeah,
I want all of it. You know what I mean?
I love when we get Haas women because we very rarely get Haas women.
Right. Yeah.
It's all right. whether they're a Haas because they're freakishly tall or they're a Haas because they're plus size. We never get Haas women.
What the?
They got Raquel out here flexing her back and stuff, just trying to make herself look as Haas as possible.
What
you know, like you know,
what name
they don't
they
have
her?
A lot, but
what name did they end up giving her?
Well, the rumor is they're going to call her Dewdrop.
I hope
not.
Because
that's
the only thing
rumor.
I don't like.
That's right on the screen.
That was the Twitter freakout. Did you not see like the big Twitter freakout all day about like
today.
We're just going to change her name? Nothing matters anymore. Down is up. We hate like wrestling fans.
No. There's nuance to be had in that conversation.
I'm sure
they
is.
Can't. They can't.
No,
have
they
it.
Can't at all.
No.
But there is nuance to the cast.
Down
the
is
only
up,
thing
the
I didn't like.
Ending. We're all going to die.
Only thing I didn't like was the stuff they put in her hair gave me Bertha Faye vibes. And I just don't need that. I don't want her to have that comparison. I think that she's good enough on her own. And I think that it'll go really well. This has been my low-key favorite for a while. And I honestly think that I'm a few weeks away from not having this. I'm probably a few weeks beyond this not even being allowed to be a low-key favorite anymore. But I have been enamored really since before Halloween with Cameron Grimes. And now that he's a babyface, he's in the hero role. Thanks to actually, you know what? No, I'm going to take Cameron Grimes away because I don't think that's fair. I think it's too easy at this point. And I'm going to go with his opponent, LA Knight, because LA Knight.
Tell me. Yeah.
Right. Let me talk to you. LA Knight is he's just so refreshing because he's like a late 80s, early 90s heel, but he can flat out go and doesn't get enough credit for how well he can go. He's got the look of a main roster wrestler, but he gets over in NXT, which, like, you know, take notes, Karrion Kross, because you're a main roster guy stuck in NXT and you shouldn't be there. And we'll talk about that on the hashtag Miranda Show here in a few minutes for us anyway. But it's really like LA Knight to me is this breath of fresh air. Like the stuff that he does on NXT, no one else is doing. And it just works. And he's going to get so many people over as a babyface, including Cameron Grimes, who I didn't even realize until Cameron Grimes came out and they were piping in cheers because that's what they do in WWE now. And honestly, little note, they've been doing it for 20 years now. They were piping in cheers for Cameron Grimes, and I was like, oh, wait, he's the hero. Like, it's not heel versus heel like I thought it was.
MVPs of that match, though, the MVPs of that match are the Impact Wrestling social media team for plugging the Eli Drake versus Trevor Lee match.
Just like they've been plugging the Drew Galloway versus Bobby Lashley match. Yep. It's so good. But Cameron Grimes has been so entertaining, and he can do it all. But he's gotten to show a side of him that we didn't really get to see. I mean, yeah, in PWG, he was cutting obscenity laden promos, and that's great. But he is a character and a wrestler in WWE and NXT and doing so well of it. So for me, that's my guilty pleasure was Cameron Grimes, but also LA Knight, because LA Knight is he's just such a welcome breath of fresh air.
Greg, I saw LA Knight years ago at an indie show here in Phoenix, Arizona that was stacked. And he was one of the guys I had no idea who he was. And even in a show that featured Apollo Crews and Drew McIntyre and Brian Cage and a litany of others, he stood out, immediately made an impact on me the first time I saw him because he grabbed the mic and he got on it and he did the thing that he did. And the first thing I thought about him the first time I saw him was, this guy looks like he should be on Raw right now. So, I mean, he's been ready for years, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I think that he's finally getting a good opportunity. I still hate the name a lot, but
he needed the cadence. He can't say Eli.
It had to be three syllables so that he could do the thing.
The thing, the LA Knight, yeah.
That's the thing. They didn't try to change him too much because he's older than you.
I have a dummy shirt, so.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And he's the guy, he's the example like you just gave of that indie show. You realize when you watch him, he's not what you want. He's what you need. And you see that and you get so excited about LA Knight. So that is going to wrap things up for this edition of the Babyface Heel podcast. We are going to continue the roundtable discussion with two more topics on the hashtag Miranda Show for you Thursday, midday here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Quick reminder to head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up one of those t-shirts. Support the cause. Support the movement. We appreciate you doing that. Derek Montilla is at CAP_caveman with a K. Check out everything he does. Kyle is at Dr. S'mores on the Twitter, at Wrestling Realist for Patrick O'Dowd. I'm at Chairshot Greg. The website, thechairshot.com, is at Chairshot Media. Definitely check that out for all of your needs. Of course, this show streams at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Along with all of your favorite streaming platforms, like, subscribe, leave us that review. Just do everything you can. We appreciate everything you do, and we're going to keep this thing going. So it's so hard for me to wrap things up when the same four people are going to keep recording after this, but that's a peek behind the curtain. So I'll end, you know, I'm giving myself to July 1st, knowing I get rid of all the copyrighted music. So there's not a whole lot of times that I can continue to play this. So until next time, always use your head.
You lose some fantastic man.
Johnny Idiot Face.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.